Yes, Lord. Y'all, it ain't my battle. It ain't my problem. Hey, some things are just God's problem. And if y'all like me, y'all just let him have it. Like, here, Jesus, I'm casting it right now because it ain't my problem. Big, little, or small. As the pastor say, if it concerns you, it concerns God. Hey, everybody. It is April already. It is season 9 of being touched by mercy and living on grace. And we're learning to live a life of servanthood. And before we get started, I want you to know, in order to do these types of things, to serve the way Jesus wanted us to say, serve, you must be in a relationship with him. You need to learn how to grasp these teachings only through him so you can live and enjoy and walk in this kind of life. You know, Jesus is the answer. Say yes to him as your Lord and Savior today. And as the pastor said, if you ain't not saved, you need to get saved. And we know we've tried everything else, but I'm telling you today, he is willing and he's able to give you new direction so that you can experience a life of abundance. This week, we're going to look in on, or month, we're going to look in on Mark chapter 10, verses 42 and 45. And we have to realize that serving is not a checkoff list. It's not something you be like, oh, this is my bucket list. Oh, this is my to-do list for Saturday or Christmas or Thanksgiving. You know, serving is a way of life. It is what we were created to do. You know, we were created to serve God and others. In the scripture, Mark chapter 10, beginning at the 42nd verse, and I'm reading the New Living Translation. So Jesus called them together and said, you know that the rulers in this world love to lord over people, and officials flaunt their authority over those under them. But among you, it will be different. Whoever wants to be a leader among you must be your servant. And whoever wants to be first among you must be the slave of everyone else. For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve others and to give his life as a ransom. Amen. Amen. My other half is not here. He went to First Saturday, Wednesday church, and I had to get this podcast done. But Jesus was the greatest example of servanthood. He showed us how to do it in 3.5 years. He washed dirty feet. He fed people. He healed people. He delivered people. Like every day of his life, he was serving people. And when we serve people, we are serving God. And when I began to think about, you know, doing the season about serving, because oftentimes we think it's just a, you know, just this checkoff list. Well, I ushered today. Well, we went and served 200 people today. Oh, I went and went to the homeless shelter last Friday. But it's not just doing it one time. Every day we ought to look for an opportunity to serve. Serve someone. And it's a sacrifice. It is one of the greatest sacrifices that we will ever make. And the thing is, when you are willing to serve, it's just you're ready to step in whatever role that you can. So it will help someone else. You know, we shouldn't be below, you know, certain things shouldn't be below us. Like, I can't do that. That's beneath me. If it's going to benefit someone else, and when you serve, it actually benefits you because you're no longer focused on what your problems is, what you going, you're about doing with Jesus. Think about all the things that Jesus did. Ever since he came on the scene, someone was out to get him. Someone lied on him. They did things to him. And that never stopped him from serving. But, look at us. Soon as somebody in the church say someone, soon as someone on the job say something, soon as someone on the serving team say or do something we don't like, we disturb. I ain't doing that no more. But who were you doing it for in the first place? It says serve, do your work as if you're doing it for God. And people, we are fleshly people. We mess up, we say stuff. But that's where grace falls in. And we can't stop doing things just because somebody said something, did something. Because Jesus wouldn't have made it to the cross if he would have let things like that stopped him. He's our greatest example to show us this is not just a checkoff list. And the thing is, we have to realize when we serve God, we are just doing his will. And this includes what he has commanded us to do. You know, Jesus said it, if you want to be great, then serve. Just because we are the pastors, we are the deacons, we the bishop, we the president, we the CEO, we should never, ever, ever get to the point that we don't serve someone else or feel like that's beneath us. Because one day, no matter how much money you got, no matter how good your health is, someone's going to have to serve you. And I know I want them to serve me like they serving Jesus. I don't know about y'all. You know, and the thing is, serving, we teach people. They got to know. That's a part of serving. Can you imagine? I was a CNA for many, many years. I had to wash feet. I had to change diapers. I had to do a lot of stuff. And that was my best job out of everything I've ever done since I've been working since I was 16 years old. Being a CNA, a certified nursing assistant for many, many years, was the best job I ever had. I got some sit-down jobs. I love my counseling job. I was a manager. But guess what, y'all? When I was serving in that capacity, oh, what joy I had. I had some good days. Even when I got beat up, got hit, got scratched, got called everything but a child of God. And the thing is, we have to remember that serving is also helping those who need our assistance. And when you serve, it becomes genuine. Like if you're just doing it as a checkoff box or, whew, I did that for the year. I ain't got to do it no more till next Christmas. It never becomes genuine. It never comes from the heart. It's in your head. You just remember every Thanksgiving or Christmas, you got to give a turkey. You got to go buy stuff for the angel trees or the seniors. And it just becomes a checkoff box. But when it becomes genuine, you look for many, many ways to serve. Yeah, I know we all got jobs. Some of us raising kids got jobs. Our kids are busy. But you can teach them how to serve too. You can come together as a family once a month and find somewhere to serve. And baby, there is somewhere to serve every day. You got nursing homes, hospitals. You got schools. You got homeless shelters. You got women's shelters. I can go, and know why I can say this, because this is what I've done for the last 30 something years of my life. I have served wherever God sends me. So you can't say there's plenty of work to do, y'all. And you know, and serving just gives you a sense of joy and peace because you're being obedient to him. You know that, God, I don't do this just as a checkoff. I do it because you told me to do, and I found so much joy and peace in doing it. It's like every first Saturday serve, we go to the housing authority, and we go knock on the doors and invite the kids to service, and you know, we have prayer. We have Bible study. We have a game. We do worship. We just have fun. And then we feed them twice, breakfast and lunch. And we give them hugs. We sit down with them. We have lunch with them. And we eat with them. Because oftentimes, they don't know what it's like to sit down and eat a meal together with adults, with each other. So when I tell y'all, it is plenty of work to do. Just get out there, ask somebody. I don't care where you at, where you live. You can live in the smallest town. And I promise you, somebody will have some way. You can serve the elderly. Maybe somebody need a ride. We're just trying to quit checking off boxes and start serving because it's a hard thing. In Ephesians 6, 7, and 8, it says, serve wholeheartedly as if you were serving the Lord and not people. Because you know that the Lord will reward each one for whatever good they do, whether they are slave or free. Whew! That's it, y'all. To be rewarded for the good you do for someone else. We think, when I was a manager at West Georgia Orthodontics, one of the things I would do with the staff when we had days off that we didn't get paid, my good doctor, she would let me bring the ladies down to where I was serving at the homeless shelter, as wherever I was serving on that day. And I would tell them, if you come serve, then you'll get paid. But they started coming. They started looking forward to that. After that, they was like, Miss Patrice, when are we serving again? It was no longer, ooh, we're going to get paid and we ain't got to work 8 hours. They were like, when are we doing this again? You know, when? And to see that excitement in them, you know, just to tell them and to show them what serving is all about, what I would do. And even though I worked a full-time job, serving gave me, it's nothing like not getting paid and doing something well and doing something excellent. And the thing is, the Bible teaches us that serving God is not about doing great things, giving $1 million. It's about the small things because we do it in love. We got to use what we got. Some of us ain't got much, but some of us know how to cook. Some of us know how to sew. Some of us crochet. God said, don't worry about what you can't do, but what you can do. You got to start somewhere. And then you will experience peace and joy like you never, never felt before. And I can tell you this as an example. When my mom and sister were killed, oh my God. You know, I was at the women's shelter and then I was at the homeless shelter. And I'm telling you, these men and these women, they were praying for us. And because I knew I had to continue to serve them because they were looking forward to hearing the word and worship, and I couldn't stop. And as I was continuing to pouring out, God was pouring into me. And before I know it, the grief just didn't consume me like it did at first because I still had a job to do and I had to still do it in a way that honored God. And I'm telling y'all, that was the joy and peace that surpasses all understanding. And that spiritual discipline of service, you're just choosing to do something for someone else. And we often do it in secret. Sometimes we can't, but most of us, we try to do it. And, you know, we'll ask people to join, but we don't be like, ooh, look what I did today. Ooh, look. You know, and the thing is, we don't expect nothing in return. And that's because we know that the God we serve is going to reward us. He's going to reward us. And it may not be with money, but it's going to be with something. God always, every time, all the years that Dwayne and the girls and I have served, when I tell you, the more we give out, the more God has blessed us in every way possible. And we just can't stop. We don't know how to stop. It's in us. And we've been around people and we'll introduce them to serving. And it is just like contagious, like, oh my God, this is like some people have never served a day in their lives when it comes to outreach. I'm not talking about in the church. Most people can kind of serve in the church. They can find somewhere in the church. But I'm talking about on the outside. Look at Jesus' work. It was never in the four walls. If it was, it was in somebody's house. Rarely did he go in a church and be like, yeah, I'm gonna serve in the house. He was on the outside, y'all. We have to get out of these four walls. We have to come, you know, we can come up with so many things to create for a party, for a dinner. Come up with something creative to do in ministry to serve. It's in you. He said he put it in you. So it's in you. It is in you. And the thing is, when God calls us to serve, it is an invitation because it builds us, it grows us. That's that spiritual maturity. You're starting to see the goodness of God through your service, your maturity. You no longer worried about going on the next vacation. You be like, I'm telling you, we be trying to plan around first Saturday serve. Like, we can't do it on that day. So we be like, it is funny because we don't want to miss our first Saturdays. Because it is such a joy when we get to see these children and they look forward to seeing us. You know, you got to be consistent in serving now. We got to be consistent. And you know what the truth is? These kids and people know when you faking the funk, when you really don't want to be there, when it's not a hard thing, you just punching a clock. People know. And they'll tell you. They have told me. Mm-mm, they ain't no good. They don't even know why they came. They don't even want to be here. I've heard that. I have heard that, and that bothers me. Because we forget that Jesus told us to do it wholeheartedly, as if we're serving him. Philippians 2, verses 3 through 5. Serving others is more than just keeping up with your to-do list. To be a servant means we genuinely need to care about people. It's keeping our eyes, our hearts, and our schedule open for divine appointments. Jesus was not stressed by this time that what others thought of him or a list of tasks to accomplish each day. Some of us so busy working 2 and 3 jobs and we still ain't making ends meet. But I'm telling you, if you start giving some time to God outside of church, outside of your regular schedule, God will make things happen. Miracles will happen. I can testify to this, y'all. When I started, one of the things I did, I started tithing, first of all, when I rededicated my life in 99. And the second thing I did is I started serving. And I used to work long hours, 16-hour shifts, 5-7 days a week, and I was broke. And then when I quit working all those hours, when I started tithing, when I started being obedient to God, things shifted. I was like, God, I should have done this a long time ago. But when you know better, you do better. Back then, I didn't know. I did not know. I thought serving was just being in those four walls. But it was so much more than that. So, you know, as we continue, you know, this life, having a life and serving and just doing the things that God has called us to do, y'all, don't make it a check-off list. Don't make it a life of living as a servant, as a slave to others. And we think, especially as African Americans, that being a slave in this day and age is because of what our ancestors went through. But no, that's mean you're willing to be used someone by someone else to make a difference. To see it bring about a change. Because that's what the word servant means in Latin. To be a slave. To be willing to be used by God. To make a difference in someone's life. Woo! I thank y'all. Thank y'all for listening. We're going to continue to work on this life of servanthood. Of being about our Father's business. And next month, we're going to talk about Joshua and what he said. He says, as for me and my house, we going to serve the Lord. And so we have to remember that we can serve the wrong things. We can serve our jobs. We can serve people. We can serve money. But Joshua made it clear. As for me and my house, we going to serve who? We going to serve the Lord. So we're going to look at Joshua chapter 24, verses 15 next month. I thank you all for listening. And Please continue to listen every first Thursday of the month to Being Touched by Mercy and Living on Grace podcast. And we also have a website. Touched by Mercy and Living on Grace Ministry has developed, started in, and we do outreach in our hometown of Kilmichael, Mississippi, as well as trying to be a part of the other communities that connected. But you can find us on Facebook, Instagram, Google, Apple, iTunes, Spotify, Buzzsprout. Please continue to tell a friend, share, tell somebody, tell your enemies, tell somebody who needs to know Jesus loves them. I gave away two $25 gift card and a cash app to Miss Pastor Pat Coleman of Columbus, Georgia, and Miss Bobby Hardeman of Grenada, Mississippi. And we will announce those next winners. When is it? May the 1st. I don't know what day of the week that is, but we're going to find out. That's a Wednesday. Next drawing will be May 1st, and that's a Wednesday. Thanks, y'all, for joining this podcast and being a part of this ministry. It has really been a blessing to me, and I pray that we say or do something that encourages you. The next episode will be loaded every first Thursday, starting at 6 a.m. And remember, my sisters and my brothers, it takes grace to make it. Love y'all. See y'all later. Bye.